Universe, Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Good evening. We thank God for another Saturday. It's always a pleasure to come your way. I'm Eben. From now till 9 p.m., I'll be with you. I'll first start with some of the news, and then we'll talk a bit about the Word of God in the series. I've been talking about the deception and all that is happening in our time. You know, the world is just getting off in terms of morality, standards, and all. You know, sometimes when you hear and see the news, what is happening in these foreign countries, it's as though there's more evil there than here. But in the real sense, I mean, it's just the type of evil that is happening there that we may not be seeing some here or in the large numbers as it is there. But we also have a fair share of so much evil happening. And, you know, the times are just too evil. The times are just too evil. So as believers, the Word of God is one sure way of keeping ourselves safe and keeping ourselves from falling into the traps and being tempted into all these evils around. You know, the Word of God is so critical in our times now because we need it more than ever before. I don't think a generation has experienced the type of things we are seeing compared to what we are experiencing now. And it's just obvious that the Word of God is under attack in various ways by the liberal systems and all that. But as Christians, we can be so complacent and think all is well, when in reality, all is not well. So tonight, welcome. This evening, greetings to those outside the country, in various countries, outside Kumasi as well, in Accra and all the various regions. Welcome to this edition. All right, so let me start with this one. Christian convert killed by husband for accepting Christ in Uganda. So we have this, a Muslim in Eastern Uganda on 9th July killed his wife for convert to Christianity, a relative said. Amina Nafuka, 31, had returned from medical checkup in Kampala and a visit to a worship service in the capital city to her home in Bugiri town, where her husband, 40-year-old Abdullah Waswa, had learned of her accepting Christ at the church, said a relative whose name is withheld for security reasons. And Nafuka had spent 10 days in June in Kampala to treat problems with her uterus, staying with a relative there who had accepted Christ in 2021. Whilst recovering at her relative's home, a pastor visited and prayed for her recovery. A doctor told her to return a few weeks, 3 weeks time, and a relative accompanied her to return to the Bugiri. The relative shared the gospel with Nafuka while staying with her during her recovery, and that's where the whole issue started. So on July 28th, they returned to Kampala and then leaving the children behind with their grandmother. And the next morning, they attended the church where Nafuka met the pastor and received Christ as her Lord and Savior. Thank God for that. Then, after they've gone about 100 meters from the church site, Nafuka showed the relative the Bible the pastor had given her. They were surprised when a businessman and close friend of her husband in Bugiri, his neighbor, saw Nafuka give the Bible to the relative. Oh, so this the problem somebody saw and go and report. So you mean nowadays you go to church? Yahawa asked Nafuka, according to the relative who said Nafuka remained silent as they left immediately. Then when they arrived to the home where the husband was, so like immediately I heard a loud bang inside of kicks and slaps. The relative said she started screaming and calling for help. I feared for her life and rushed outside the room shouting and wailing for help. As neighbors approached, the husband came out of the house and disappeared. When we went inside the bedroom and found her unconscious with blood coming out of her mouth, the relative said she was rushed to the hospital, but soon the doctor pronounced her dead on arrival. She was strangled and hit with an object around her mouth. At least as Christians, we know what she did and we know where she's gone to. You know, it's serious for people out there. People are really going through massive persecution. We have 6 Christians killed by terrorists amid worsening trend in Nigeria's Benue State. So they too killed because they were Christians. And this is where the trend is going. People being killed because of their faith. And they are standing. It's indeed a difficult thing, but people are enduring to the end. Then in India, we have women paraded naked, villages burned and looted. Reports list assaults on Christians in Nepal. And this is a big issue in India now, where international news are talking of this persecution and all, but it seems the government is just turning a blind eye to it. Days after viral video shows Christian women being paraded naked and groped before one of them was gang raped in public, drawing the world's attention to the ongoing violence in northeastern India's Manipur. A tribal organization has published a report listing several other physical and sexual attacks perpetrated against the women. The Indigenous Tribal Leaders Forum, agglomerates of recognized tribes based on the churches in the district, has released a list of 12 additional attacks on women from predominantly Christian Kukizo tribal community. The report claims these incidents represent only a fraction of the abhorrent crimes committed against the Kukizo tribal women between May 3rd and July 6th. The ethnic violence against the Kukizo tribes, allegedly by the region's largely Hindu Metis tribe, began on May 3rd, and the sporadic attacks continue today. According to the ITLF, at least 129 Kikizo people have been killed, 292 villages have been burnt, and 4,550 houses have been burnt and destroyed, and 357 churches and religious buildings have been destroyed or burnt in Manipur since May 3rd. Wow. That's serious. All right, let's come to Ghana. I'm sure most of you heard this attack, the trending video of what happened in this Adel College and the student being suspended, now a court case being given bail and all that. But Angel Kabonu, the Nagrat's president, granted an interview to a TV station, a radio station rather, and I'm reading the reports from their websites. Angel Kabonu raised concern over the diminishing power of teachers in students' discipline. In the wake of the disturbing incident at Addis Adel College, where a student was captured assaulting a fellow student in a viral video, the president of National Association of Graduate Teachers, NAGRAT, Angel Kabonu, has expressed deep concern over the erosion of teachers' and school managers' authority in dealing with students' behavior. Quote, "The past school managers and teachers held significant power and strength in controlling students, but sadly, that authority has been gradually taken away from us," unquote, Mr. Kabonu stated. He emphasized that the decline in teachers' authority has continued to the intensification of such incidents in schools. He further lamented the lack of consequences for students who misbehave, attributing this problem to the diminishing power of teachers and to enforce disciplinary measures effectively. He called for a collective decision to restore the authority of schools in handling disciplinary matters. quote, "We need to return to a system where schools can make decisions and take appropriate actions when students violate school rules," unquote, Mr. Kabuni urged. Speaking on Asempa FM Tekosi Sen show on Tuesday, he suggested that a structured disciplinary committee should be empowered to address various offences with corresponding punishments depending on the severity of the misconduct. The NAGWA president expressed his belief that the decline in teachers' authority can be linked, now listen to this part well. So the NAGWA president expressed his belief that the decline in teachers' authority can be linked to external influences promoting alternative approaches to raising children. Let me repeat. The NAGWA president expressed his belief that the decline in teachers' authority can be linked to external influences promoting alternative approaches to raising children. He criticized these foreign ideologies for disregarding the cultural differences and environments in which Ghanaian children are nurtured. Quote, "Some individuals have been swayed by foreign ideals, asserting that our traditional way of raising children is inadequate. They have influenced decisions, undermining the effectiveness of our disciplinary methods," unquote, he stated disapprovingly. He went on to point out that these external advocates might have lured people with financial incentives, leading to misguided decisions that have harmed the traditional methods of discipline in schools. Quote, "Our cultural environment plays a crucial role in how we raise our children. We cannot blindly adopt foreign ideologies without considering the impact they have on our society," unquote, Mr. Kabuni asserted. Ghana, you know, this is worrying because, you know, I mean, these foreign institutions, UNESCO and all these people pushing a lot of things into our system. And what they're saying is the reality. I mean, if you're a teacher and you're listening to this program, I believe you can assent to that. Because, you see, there's an agenda. The way they destroy their Western societies, I mean, UK, US are just examples you can assent to, where morality has fallen. To be a teacher in some of these countries, and actually in the US, some particular states and all that, is one of the most difficult things to do now, where children have no respect for teachers. Teachers can be attacked by children, all sorts of abuse and all sorts of attacks and all that, because the child has a right, where morality has virtually been thrown out of the window. And they want to bring these same standards here. You know, when they came in with punishment, caning, and all that should be taken out of the schools, it's very unfortunate that the system looked on. I remember talking about this on this program, but, well, I mean, it didn't, I mean, people listen and all these things. But unlike the comprehensive sexuality education, which the campaign really was a bit widespread, it was as if it was okay. Nobody really made much noise about taking corporal punishments and all these things from schools. But that was the beginning of the destruction, the moral fiber of these students in our schools. And you see, these people, you see, they're donors. They know exactly what they are doing. So they'll give you money, conditions, do this, do that, and then we give you money to expand, you do whatever it is. And you see, as for politicians, you know you can't trust them. So they don't care about the morals of our children. No. They are just concerned about the money issues and whatever money they will get for whatever project and all that. So we have a system where, you see, a NAGWA president is saying that's exactly the issue. Foreign influence, and of course with money, and we are destroying our society. We are destroying, see, now the Western, the teenagers, the children through the teenagers and to the youth are destroyed because of this same morality issue being taken out of the schools, correction being taken out of the schools. And that's exactly what they want to bring here. That's exactly, they've actually brought it here already, and we are seeing the decline in morality in our schools. And as parents really have a lot of work to do now than any other time if we are parents. Because, you see, the times when the schools were also acting as moral compasses in the lives of the children, those days technically are over, except one of a few schools where morality is still being upheld in terms of the leadership, the administration of the schools are still holding on to the standards of moral upbringing. Now, a lot of schools, these things, the standards are so down, and you talk to teachers and they are complaining because something is just not right. And it's really serious because, you know, if you are a teacher listening to this program, you can send me a message on this thing I just talked about, 0244-638-757. You can share some your experience or something, or what your views on this thing I just talked about. Now let's go to the U.S. where now, that's what this country, that country U.S. is something else. So, biology professor fired or sacked, whichever way, for teaching chromosomes determine sex. You know, when you see a thing like this in the news, and it tells you human beings have become something else, because if a biology professor cannot teach that chromosomes determine the sex of a child, then what else is biology? What is left to talk about when it comes to the gender and all these things? You see, so a Texas biology professor fired for what attorneys say were standard principles about human biology and reproduction has filed a complaint against his former employer. Dr. Johnson Vaki, a former adjunct professor at St. Philip's College in San Antonio, filed a charge of discrimination with the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission after he was fired in January in response to what the community college said were numerous complaints about a lesson he taught last fall on human biology, according to the Plano-based First Liberty Institute. The complaints, which accused Vaki of religious preaching, discriminatory comments about homosexuals and transgender individuals, anti-abortion rhetoric, and misogynistic banter, centered on a student walkout in November 2022 after Vaki stated that biological sex was determined by chromosomes X and Y, according to the attorneys. In response to the lesson, a handful of students walked out of his class and complained that Vaki's teaching pushed beyond the bounds of academic freedom with his personal opinions that were offensive to many individuals in the class. While the students walked out of Vaki's class were not identified, LGBT advocates insist sex and gender are often fluid rather than binary. Christian apologists argue that if sex and gender were not intertwined, cross-sex hormones or sex change operations would be unnecessary. Despite teaching the same basic scientific concepts in human anatomy and physiology to more than 1,500 students since 2004, attorneys say Vaki received positive student feedback and was never disciplined before last November. Whilst attorneys say the Vaki taught from school-approved and science-based curriculum, officials at the university claim his teaching was a religious nature, and on January 20th issued Vaki a notice of termination. Vaki, who identifies as a devout evangelical and serves with his wife as volunteer associate pastor at International Bible Church in San Antonio, said in his statement that he never mentioned his religious beliefs in class. You see, and that's the issue now happening in some of the U.S. universities, where professors are being forced not to say that chromosomes can actually determine the sex of a child, to the extent where there was one case, one university where a medical school, human biology class, people studying to be doctors, were offended by the professor for saying that a man cannot get pregnant. Can you imagine that? I mean, so if doctors, even people, you see, so it tells you the type of doctors who will be trained in this type of society, with this mindset of modified statements. If a senior, a professor in medicine cannot say that a man cannot get pregnant, what else can be taught? If you can't say this, what facts? I mean, this one, there's no argument about it. But in the world we are in now, we find ourselves now, one of the most difficult questions that learned people even cannot answer is what is a woman, and you see them fumbling and oh no, this generation says something really wrong. Now to the UK, where we have parents says that Church of England school is teaching kids they might be born in a wrong body. A parent has appealed to the Church of England's chief education officer, the Reverend Nigel Genders, to act over concerns about inappropriate and sexually explicit relationships, sex and health education lessons in his children's school. According to the Christian Legal Center, which is supervising the parent, or supporting the parent, the unnamed Church of England Primary School in Norfolk is using materials teaching children as young as 7 years that some people can be born a boy but feel like a girl, whilst others might identify as pangender, someone who does not feel like a boy or a girl. It is also claimed that pupils are allowed to take part in pretend same-sex weddings. Hey, that's a member. The parent, who wishes to remain anonymous, reported his concerns about the material to the school in an independent review hearing, but to no avail, according to the CLC. He also asked the Church of England to intervene and explain why such teaching was being allowed in their schools. And, you know, previous reports and all that has confirmed that a number of Church of England schools are going about these educational lessons. And you see, and now there's a trend where even in the U.S. some schools, they are teaching the children these destructive things, using almost porn-related materials in class to teach children. And now they've, one thing, they, because there's a lot of pushback from parents, so they are now brainwashing the children and lying to them, or telling them to lie to their parents that these things are being taught. So materials that are being used, schools are lying about it. When parents demand it, they don't want to show it to them, and the children are being forced not to tell parents and all that. Children who make such complaints about that they are reporting or they tell their parents are now being shamed in class. So intimidating children to keep quiet and let's destroy you. Don't tell your parents, because when the parents come or get to know, there will be problems. You know, I was having a chat with a friend this afternoon, and it's like, people are traveling, I have friends moving, migrating the children to outside and all that. But one thing that saddens me is, the exposure of their children to these systems out there. It's a difficult thing, because you see, an adult being exposed to these things, at least the resistance for an adult is much stronger. But for a child in a primary level now getting exposed, being brainwashed, being forced, being pushed to accept these things, it's a very difficult thing. Very difficult thing. And you know, it's a really serious issue, because you see, when you get exposed to these things, this is, so it's not surprising when children, after getting exposed to these things, now begin to question the agenda. They want to question everything. Now they get influenced, and some schools are even helping them to even start the transition process before, without even telling the parents. So you're a parent, you know, you have a boy or you have a girl, and these things are being done secretly, and they make the child to understand that they should keep it as a secret to the parents, or the parents will obstruct the process of transitioning. So by the time some parents will get to know, the puberty blockers and the chemicals have been injected into the child, and the process has long started. So it's like they started the destruction of the body of the child, the transitioning, or not transitioning from one gender to the other. And it's worrying, because you see, today I saw one statistics where they said there's a 30% chance of those who transition from one gender to the other to commit suicide. 30% chance. You know, the devil is so smart. He knows that the one smart way to get these people to hell is cause them to do these transitions, knowing very well that is one of the biggest insults to God. Seriously, one of the biggest sins and insults to God is to tell God in the face that you made me a boy, but you made a mistake. You, God, you made a mistake, and I want to correct the mistake you made and become a girl. or vice versa. You made me a girl and you made a big mistake as God. So I'm correcting the mistake you made and become a boy. It's a serious insult to God. Serious insult. You know, so if the devil can get into this situation, now then the demons start pushing you. They start hearing voices. You are not fit for purpose. After all, you see, you are not. I mean, now you see, the demons will now torment them. They hear voices and voices. One interview I watched, the best. Now they can't sleep. So much pressure on them. They hear things, and then suicide, kill yourself. And they'll hear the voices, kill yourself. So some hear, and then they're able to, by the grace of God, come out. But those others just hear it, and the voice puts pressure on them, kill yourself, and they kill themselves. And of course, straight away, I mean, no bend, no curve. Once you die in such a situation, it's a worrying situation. You know, the devil is really working hard. He knows that, see, to get these people into these insulting lifestyles is an easy way to get people to hell. So it's being pushed, it's being encouraged, it's being made the norm. Like this next news item, we have ex-homosexual could face jail time and massive fines after sharing how he was delivered by Jesus. Come on. I mean, this is something that should have been a good news to be celebrated. Unfortunately, this then can rather land this person in prison, because an ex-LGBT activist in Malta reportedly facing potential prison time after sharing his testimony of leaving behind the gay lifestyle to follow Christ is continuing his battle in court. Oh, what a world. Matthew Gretsch recently joined CBN's FaithWire to provide an update on his case, the legal ramifications, and why he's fighting for freedom. Quote, "I really do believe that God is going to come through and usher us into victory here," he said, noting he's back in court this week. As previously reported, legal problems began when Gretsch shared his story of living the LGBTQ lifestyle and finding Christ with a local outlet in Malta. He said two presenters with PM News Malta wanted to know more about the nation's crackdown on so-called conversion therapy and his take on the matter. Malta, in 2016, became the first European Union country to ban attempts to change or repress or eliminate a person's sexual orientation, gender identity, and or gender expression, unquote, leading to fines or even jail time. "Last year, I was invited to share my story on a program and the answer questions about so-called conversion therapies," unquote, Gretsch said. As I mentioned, an organization that supports men and women who live LGBT and an organization that promotes a biblical sexuality. Just days later, he said three people reported him to police and accused him of breaching the law. Suddenly, he was in legal trouble. I had to go to the police and exercise my right to be silent, he said, and the police pressed charges against me. Gretsch is reportedly the first person in his country to be prosecuted in such a way. "If I'm found guilty, I could spend 5 months in jail, or I could pay a fine of up to 5,000 euros just for really exercising my freedom to be a Christian and to support others who want to move away from unwanted LGBT identities or desires," he said. In the end, Gretsch said he is grateful for the support and prayer he has received from Christians across the globe. He is confident he will be victorious in court. But even if he's not, he has no plans to give up hope or to cede to the state. "Our fundamental freedoms are being breached here, and I believe there are not just constitutional laws in Malta, but also European laws and international laws that protect us in this scenario," he said. Regardless, Gretsch said he plans to cling to the Lord and take whatever comes his way. I mean, look at such a law. You know, conversion therapy, that means don't force someone to change. So even church giving counseling to someone who is in LGBT and praying with the person for God to deliver the person and all, falls under conversion therapy, which now some countries are putting laws so that even this is becoming illegal. So in essence, let them be in this lifestyle till death do them part from this earth. You see how the devil is really trapping them? So these are lifestyles which the devil knows that to make it very easy for them to go to hell, he is now using laws to entrap them in there to the point where don't come out. Even when you want to come out, the process you want to come out with is being made illegal. So that stay in there and die in there. Even books, those who write books about the fact that Jesus can save you, Christ can deliver you and all that. Amazon doesn't want to sell those books. So that you, even it's difficult for someone, let someone who is in the dilemma, he is having suicidal thoughts, as I said, 30%, sorry, there's a 30%, 30-fold chance of committing suicide by these people, and would want to, okay, let me look for a book that I can read to come out. If others have come out, how did they come out? So that let me get a book. The bookshops don't want to sell these books. So it's like entrapment. You are trapped in an evil lifestyle, and they want to keep you there. Because if you get the knowledge that, oh, it's possible to come out, you can be saved by the saving power of Christ and all that. So to keep you out of this, the book don't want to sell it. The main leading bookshops don't want to sell it. Amazon and others. And that's how evil the system has become. But this sad news, let me finish with it. Churches across Europe repurposed for nightclubs and hotels as attendance shrinks to stunning lows. It's a real issue. Churches across Europe are being abandoned or converted into entertainment venues as Christianity continues to decline on the continent. That is painful. I'll not hide it. On the other hand, there is no return to the past possible. Monsignor Johan Bonny, the Bishop of Antwerp, Belgium, told the Associated Press. The bishop's comments come as churches across Belgium and Europe sit increasingly abandoned, a symptom of the decline in Christianity on the continent that once helped spread the religion to every region of the world. Think about this part of it. Christianity emanated from Europe and spread to the rest of the world. Now, the continent that sends the light out there is having the greatest darkness on the earth now. It's really serious. One lesson I learned from this is starting is not as important as finishing. So you can start something, but can you finish it? You can start the Christian race, but do you have the capacity to finish? Can you finish it successfully? You know, you look at what is happening in Europe and you look at some of the pictures, oh, it's serious. And nice cathedrals, and now they've been converted into hotels. So you see some of the hotel rooms and the, you know, cathedral design, the cruise and all that. I said, hey, once upon a time, these cathedrals were filled to capacity. You know, now some, the reason why some they end up selling is the cost of maintaining this huge building or the church building. Sunday service, you have just about 10 people sitting in a 1,000 capacity church. Just 10 people, 5 people. So eventually, what is the use of keeping such an edifice? Utilities, maintenance, staff, and all that, janitors who be cleaning. Eventually, it doesn't make business sense again, economic sense, to keep such facilities running. So that's what is happening. They close it, sell it. You know, I saw one recently where the building sold. Now it's going to be used for a mosque and all that. And you ask yourself, you see, the sad thing is, when they use it for a mosque, the place will be full. And that should tell us something. And it's worrying, but that's the reality of the times. Repurposing some of Belgium's greatest churches and cathedrals comes after 2018 Pew Research study showed that 83% of Belgians say they were raised Christian. That is serious. 83% said they were raised Christian. Only 55 still follow the religion. Meanwhile, only 10% of Belgians say they attend church services regularly. What a decline. 83% claim they were raised in Christian values. 55% still say they still follow the religion, and only 10% say they attend church services regularly. That's something else. The trend is not unique to Belgium. Churches from Italy, Germany, and all being repurposed for similar, you know, entertainment centers and all that. And it goes on and on. And this is very sad. The final news item, the globalists promise to improve God's design of man through transhumanism. You know, they are seeking, last week or two, I talked about the fact that like Elon Musk has gotten the permission to expand this Neuralink or something, the business have gotten a name, where they are looking at integrating computer chips into the brain of human beings, integrated together so we can become faster or smarter. I mean, all this advancement in computing, you know. So the globalists have long been working on it. They've been promoting and talking about it. So it sounds like science fiction, but it's rapidly becoming a reality. Some of the most powerful people on the planet think they are going to upgrade human beings, human 2.0, right? Or at least some human beings through genetic engineering, technological schemes such as the brain implants. Yes, really. In fact, they are publicly touting alleged benefits, supposedly including eternal life. You know, when the devil is busy working, human beings, it's sad how when you take the word of God and you have no fear of God, the things that people can do. Because how can you think of extending human life indefinitely? Eternal life? Come on. Oh, no. See, let me finish. This eternal life thing, Christ, what has... human beings, and even evolving into gods. If that all sounds crazy or even diabolical, good, it should, because it is. And yet the technologies to make some of these nightmarish visions possible are progressing so fast, it would make your brain spin. In some cases, the technology already exists. Meanwhile, children around the world are being prepared to embrace it through public schools and entertainment. World Economic Forum Chief Klaus Schwab, the global frontman for the so-called Great Reset, has been celebrating it for years as part of what he calls the Fourth Industrial Revolution. In his book on the subject and in speeches, Schwab outlined a plan to merge people with computer technologies, brain implants, and even to genetically improve them. You know, this generation is insulting God in a way which I don't think other generations did that, or thought of even doing that. You know, let me pause here and read. I mean, if you read Genesis chapter 1, I think. Yeah, it should be 1 or 2, I think. Yeah. Verses 31. Genesis 1:31, verse 31. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. If God, the creator of the universe and humankind, has created everything he made, including human beings and animals, and now the human beings he created have the audacity to challenge you, God, that God, you made a mistake. You didn't know how to create human beings well. So we, the human beings you created, we are come to show you how to have better human beings, a better version and better form, who can think better than you created us to think. This is the insult. This is the insult this generation has degraded itself into, where we, now human beings think they are gods and they can do smarter things than God who created them. As if they control their own lives. If they sleep tonight and they don't wake up. I mean, is it... God is very patient. God is indeed very patient. You know, he gives a long rope for people to repent. Because, you see, one would expect that, I mean, in such instances, then if it was human beings who were God, oh, that day in an instant, it just cleared them. But God, in his own wisdom and his love and mercy, just allows human beings to misbehave with the hope that some will change and repent. You know, this world is moving into a certain direction, or not moving into, we've already moved there and we are now proceeding. So it's like you are going to Accra. You now get into the Accra Kumasi Highway itself, and now you start speeding and start moving. You are traveling. That's, is it like now the world is just speeding towards destruction? No bend, no curve. Head on. We are moving top level speed towards destruction. Everything the world is doing now is like, you know, it's just like in the times of Noah, where every intention of man was evil. We are somewhere at a level where humanity is just becoming something else. We are becoming something. But as believers listening to this program this evening, you know, we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't be discouraged in whatever decisions we've made to follow Christ, whatever decisions we've made that this Christ is the one we'll follow. We believe until death do us part, we'll stand on our faith. We'll not give up our faith. Because you see, there's a direct attack, and you see, the first line of attack against God is his word, the word of God. That's what I've been talking about in recent times, how the word of God is under attack, because it's the word of God that really gives us the image of God, who God is and what he is and his principles and his directions and everything. So if you attack God, you want to attack God, of course you are not seeing a physical God to attack, whatever, with missiles or gun or whatever. So it is his word and his people, the Christians, the representatives of God on earth, we then become the target of attacks by these globalists and the leftists and liberals who hate God and everything God, and who want to extend their lives as if they don't want to die again, they want to live forever. And naturally, if you read some of the reports, the plans and scientific inventions, they want to extend life to the point where people will not die again. You know, God laughs. God looks at man and just laughs. Because you see, all these people who, Elon Musk and all these people planning these things, I mean, your breath is just a microsecond away. Your last breath is just a microsecond away. If God just holds it, what can you do? What can you do? But you see, because there's no fear of God in these people, they are free to do what they want to do. But we should be careful and know where we are. And these things that I talk about is to encourage us to know where we are and the timelines in terms of how the world is degenerating to extreme levels of evil. And, oh, it's serious. Okay, I have some messages. Good evening, Eben. Our leaders are hypocrites. They know the effects of the so-called child rights and so on, but they've turned deaf ears to it, only concerned about money. Hey, that one there, it's true. I know Jerry by now is fuming in anger. I know Jerry. Because sometimes when you hear some of these news, Jerry says, but even they are not only insulting God, but rather they are pushing him to do something extraordinary to prove his existence. Disasters. Oh, yeah, indeed. That's the disasters happening in Europe and parts of the world. It's just a foretaste of what is coming, the bigger one that the Lord will unleash on the world, just to let them remind them that. But you see, Jerry, let me tell you what the devil too is doing through these same liberal media houses and the globalists, Paul Schwab, the Schwabs, and all these people, World Economic Forum and UN and all these people. You see, they are trumpeting and claiming that it's global warming and climate change that is causing all the disasters we are having. One reason why they use this is a way of sidelining that there is a God in charge of these things. There's a God who created these things, and there's a God who can tweak and let things happen. So, in order to deny the existence of God being able to cause rain to fall, being able to cause volcanoes to erupt, being able to cause earthquakes to quake, the land to quake, and all that. They bring in this issue of climate change. But who created the climate? The one who created the climate, the God who created it, can decide to tweak things and turn things a little, and there'll be a change in things, and the way we will feel and see things. So they won't attribute it to God. They will say that, oh, it's carbon emissions and carbon footprints and all that. One way of saying that, oh, God doesn't exist. It's not God who controls the climate. It's not God who controls the earth. So they are working in their deception as well. So Jerry says disasters occurring around the world are not enough to warn them of any danger ahead. No, not at all. They don't care, actually. They just don't care. And this message to Michael says that you're 100% right. It's all part of the depopulation plan and process. Let me add what happened to Brussels circuits in Belgium of circuits. Brussels circuit of the Belgium circuit, the Methodist Church, and said then they used to worship with other denominations in the building in Brussels. The church building has been sold to some restaurant operators without the knowledge of the denominations, and they've locked the building up. So this is also in Belgium, and that's the reality. It's a decline of worship. The church buildings are being sold. And I remember some time back I saw one, they were selling it for some ridiculously, virtually like a dash. It's like they are just giving it up. So you just pay something and take it, use it for whatever you are going to use it for. And we are tired. We are just moving out. And that's it. It's in Europe now, even of the body of Christ. It is African churches that are holding Europe in terms of the worship of God, largely. If you take all the African churches out of Europe today, what will be left is almost negligible, because it's the Africans who are holding up Christianity high up there in Europe, most of the European countries. Oh yeah, it's the Africans. But if you take all of them out and close all the African churches, not much will be left of Christians among the Caucasians. That's the decline is so steep and it is so bad. Let me play a file. I played it about 5 years or so ago, but for the purpose of new listeners, let me play this file, and I believe God willing, next week I'll continue the discussion with it. Let me listen to this file. Where is it? Okay, all right, so you take a listen to this file.
The story of imprisoned pastor Saeed Abedini is focusing attention on the treatment of Christians in Iran. Now, two Iranian women are telling their persecution story.
That's right. Maryam Ross Tampour had come home from a dentist appointment and was resting on her couch when her doorbell rang. When she opened the door, her life and the life of her roommate changed forever. Wendy Griffith asked them about it.
Take us back to March 2009 when your doorbell rang. What happened?
I looked through the people and I saw Marzia with three guards. My mind was in shock. I just opened the door and they entered our apartment. They ransacked everywhere and they took both of us with all our belongings, like Bibles, books, Jesus movies, and everything that they had discovered in our apartment. And they transferred us to the security police.
For first day, and especially the first week, was so difficult for both of us because we were so scared. They threatened us to physical torture. They told us that we will beat you until you vomit blood.
They sent both of us to a very small and dark and dirty cell in the basement, and every minute we were waiting for them to come and to take us for the physical torture. At that day, we were just we hugged each other. We said goodbye. We were thinking that it was our last day on earth.
You both could have been released at any time if you denied your faith. Why didn't you?
We are in love with Jesus, and we couldn't deny our faith. And also, because Jesus in the Bible says that if you wish to follow me, you must pick up your own cross and follow me. And so as a follower of Jesus, it was very important for us to pass through this test with victory. And also, it was an honor for both of us to suffer for our faith.
For 2 weeks, you were in detention, both of you, and then you were moved to the notorious Evin prison. What were the conditions like?
It's awful in Evin prison. For the first 14 days, we didn't have anything to eat. And even in public prison, we could eat just the bread and cheese that they gave to prisoners for breakfast. And that was all we could eat. And I was poisoned once because of the food. And, you know, the medical situation was even worse. There was just a small and dirty clinic, and we couldn't visit the doctor. For 9 months, we were both sick.
How did your faith help you keep your sanity while you were in prison?
Sometimes we couldn't pray in Farsi, our language. We couldn't find words because, you know, that situation is really scary, and our mind was in shock. And in those moments, we were just praying in tongues for each other. For example, when they took Marzia for interrogations, I was praying for her, and she did the same thing for me. And the Holy Spirit really led us in our prayers when we were praying in tongues.
We have many experience with Jesus. We had met him, taught his love, and had seen many miracles. And our personal relationship was very important.
You know, we both believe that Evin is really the heart and root manifestation of the power of the Ayatollahs, and is really the symbol of their dominance and strength over Iran. This prison is notorious for arresting, torturing, raping, and executing of many innocents.
Some of my friends, before I got arrested, they told me, Marzia, you know about Iranian prison and Iranian government. If they rape you in prison, if they torture you, what you will do? And I always, you know, I trust God, and I will. I always told them that I'm sure that God will protect us, but if it happened, I'm sure that God has a reason for this.
At first, you all prayed to be released, but then your prayer changed. What happened?
We had many great opportunity to talk with many prisoners, and there were many prostitutes, addicted people, and they were, most of them, they were so hopeless, sad, and disappointed. We had to pray and ask God to show us right person to talk to them. But in that prison, we had more opportunity to talk about Jesus with many women, and also about prostitutes. It was very difficult to find prostitutes in Iran because they are not in a specific place. But when we were in a prison, we find out that there are many prostitutes here, even madams. And we had a great opportunity to talk to them and pray with them. And some of them, they cry and they confess their sins. And it was really like a church for us. And every time, every day we gather and pray, and it was wonderful.
Wow. No wonder they released you.
Yeah.
We got to get these girls out of here, right?
We were more free in prison to talk about Jesus.
What a wonderful testimony. They
I
were
tell
in
you.
Love with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Jesus will give you freedom in prison.
In prison.
In prison.
Amen.
What a wonderful testimony.
Something else listening to these ladies, you know. You watch and listen to these people in Iran, North Korea, China, and things, and you realize we are joking here with our Christianity. We don't know what we have. Oh, yeah, we are joking here with our Christianity, largely, because the type of Christianity we subscribe to, as I've said several times on this program, we are not ready for such situations. The average Christian in Ghana is not ready for such situations. No, we are not. We've not been built, spiritually equipped, to face such difficult and torments and all that. You know, we really have to listen to some of these things to build us up, to challenge us to know that there's far more than what we call Christianity in Ghana. What we call our Christianity in a little corners here. There's a lot more. to do for God. There's a lot more to challenge ourselves to. You have to strive to achieve greater laurels for the Lord. And, you know, the foundation for all these things emanates from the Word of God, our exposure to the Word of God, our mindset. Our mindset is so important because, you see, when these people are being introduced to Christ, being spoken to about Christ, the approach and the information, what they are told, is not that come to Christ and all your problems will be solved. Come to Christ and everything will be fine. No, they are told the truth. Come to Christ and you can be killed for coming to Christ. You can lose your life for coming to Christ. Come to Christ and the soldiers will torture you. The police can arrest you and you'll be brutalized. If you're a woman, you can be raped and all that. This is what people are told when they are being spoken to about Christ, because they've been told. So they are told, it will give you salvation and all that. But the consequences, the price to pay, taking up your cross to follow, is a reality. So when they are coming, when the person says, yes, I'll follow Christ, it's not just some casual something. No, they mean it, and they are indeed ready to follow Christ. Are we ready to follow Christ? Are we following Christ? Have we taken up our crosses and are following Christ? You know, these are important times to start reflecting about our real spiritual standing with the Lord. Our real values. What do we strive to achieve as believers? Why are we Christians? Are we in church just for the fun of it? Or just a social club, fellowship with believers? Feel good Sunday, go to church, go enjoy the music, fellowship, interact, take pictures, selfies after church. You know, is this all there is to church for some people? No, there should be more to it than just these things. Anyway, we thank God for this evening. I believe you've been blessed by these things I've spoken about and the discussion, some of the news, and this final testimony, the parts, the message I played. God willing, next week I'll delve more into it. I will talk about it more. I'm Eben, and I believe you've been blessed this evening. Let me finish off with these short files, and good night, and God bless you.
To illustrate the problem of going through life without God, Amazing Alan will attempt to disarm this bomb without a manual.
Not to worry, guys. Everyone knows you always cut the red wire.
Okay, Alan. Everyone behind the cement walls. And action.
Yellow, green, blue. Guys, there's no red wire. What do I do?
Whatever feels right, Alan.
Whatever feels right.
Just do what's right for you, Alan.
Well, if I would have designed this bomb, I would have put in a red wire.
That's the point, Alan. We didn't design life either. That's why we need God.
Ha ha! Here's a red wire. I knew I could do this on my own.
The Bible is our owner's manual. It gives us practical instruction on how to live life.